Welcome to the Solid Verbal.
The Solid Verbal.
Come after me! I'm a man! I'm 40!
I've heard so many players say, well, I want to be happy. You want to be happy for a day? Eat a steak.
It's that woo woo!
And now, Dan and Ty.
Welcome back to the Solid Verbal, boys and girls. My name is Ty Hildebrand. I am over here in beautiful Allentown, Pennsylvania. Joining me over there in beautiful New York City, a fine gentleman, my colleague and co-host of many years. You know him as Dan Rubenstein. Sir, how are you?
I am jacked up, Ty.
Yeah.
I am jacked up. And I actually just filled out a new passport application, and it does ask if you are known by any other names. So that just sort of triggered me when you said he is known by. I don't think I have any other names.
You don't have any nefarious aliases.
No, I hope that I never do. But I'm great, Ty. Life is good. The SB Nation college football crew is in town for a couple of planning meetings. So it's always good to see the faces that are, you know, always over Slack or email or Skype. So it's, you know, Bill C and Stephen Godfrey. I'm very excited to meet. I've never met Morgan Moriarty, who's new to the team. So all sorts of fun things are happening, which means I think we'll be eating a lot of food in the next 48 to 72 hours, which is great.
How much time would you say collectively, you as a singular entity in the foodie world, have put into what kind of eating arrangements there will be during said meetings?
So we planned tomorrow night's like nicer meal a couple weeks ago. Myself and Ryan planned that. But I don't know what I'm having for dinner tonight. We don't know what we're having for lunch tomorrow. It's tough because there's going to be like 17 or 18 of us total. So with video crew and everything like that. But generally, I just, in my own head, I'll give it a considerable amount of thought.
Yeah, I figured.
I want everybody to get a real New York experience, Ty. Did I take you to Los Tacos number one in Los Mariscos?
You took care of me.
Did I give you the Taco Bang Bang?
You gave me the Taco Bang Bang, yeah. I appreciate that very much. I'm a taco fan.
Okay, good. I'm glad. You've come so far since 2008.
I have. I really have. Okay. Yeah. iTunes.com/solidverbal.
Oh, yeah.
If you like the show, we'll be here all off season. I enjoyed the hell out of the show we did a week ago.
It was a fun one, right?
This is it. Go back and listen to it if you didn't yet. Or even if you just want to hear the sound clips again. Mm-hmm. That was your idea for a little off season game that we can play. And of course, now this show is dropping on March 1st, Dan. Whoa! Coming in hot. Okay. Have you ever heard of the common expression that March comes in like a lion and goes out like a lamb?
Ty, because I am not an ant in Kenosha, Wisconsin, I have not.
You have not heard?
When you asked me about this and were telling me about your idea, I had never heard of that expression.
See, Southern California has spoiled you, my friend.
In like a lion and out like a lamb.
Has the Solid Fiance heard of this expression?
I actually didn't ask her. I imagine she has. I mean, there's no weather in Southern California that would come in like a lion. So everything's cool in March.
In like a lion, out like a lamb. So it's, I'm guessing, something most people listening to this show have heard of. But if not, allow me to explain. Mm-hmm. The month of March, for those of us who don't live in Southern California, typically will start off in cold, unpleasant, some would say ferocious fashion, weather-wise. But then, as the expression goes, it ends in a mild and pleasant and peaceful manner, just like a lamb.
Right.
In like a lion, out like a lamb. In the college football world, Mr. Rubenstein, there are a number of players and coaches, teams, all sorts of things that enter 2017 in what I would say is a rather uncertain and tumultuous state.
Sure.
All right.
That makes sense.
And so this game today, in like a lion, it is going to be incumbent on you and I to determine whether these things go out like a lion or go out like a lamb or go out like any other creature in the animal kingdom. We're not just going to limit it to a lamb or a lion or anything, but all of them, to some degree, are entering 2017 in the season and the off season and the long doldrums of summer like a lion.
Licking some wounds.
That's right. So I've got a bunch of stuff before me, which I was hoping to discuss. Really, we're just trying to look a little bit into the crystal ball. Going to have some fun with animal sounds, you know, all the usual stuff.
Love it.
I'm going to jump right in here if you're ready.
I'm ready, Ty. Let's start.
Coming in like a lion. Man, that's ferocious.
It is.
Coming in like a lion is Butch Jones.
Yeah.
currently the head football coach at Tennessee. He has recruited the hell out of Tennessee football. Done a really good job bringing in talent. And last year, Dan, you could definitely make a case that he had the most talented team in the SEC East.
Mm-hmm.
Fought some injuries, had some close wins, some bad losses, but by and large had a very talented team. The Tennessee hype train was running hot.
Mm-hmm.
Real hot at the start of the year.
I would say so.
At the start of the year. Clearly, that did not work out. Did not work out.
No, I would say no.
So it was a tumultuous finish to Tennessee's season. Mm-hmm. And now I think it's rather uncertain for him, Butch Jones, as he now enters 2017, Dan. Butch Jones enters 2017 as a Lion. He will go out as a...
Do you want me to answer this one
please,
first?
Yes, please, please.
Okay, just making sure. So, Tennessee and Butch Jones, something that the internet loves talking about and enjoying, you know, not always because they're good, but just they just appeal to the internet. And I would say that their progress has been slow moving, fair to say?
Yeah.
So what I'm feeling right now, more of the same. We're going to like gawking, but we're not going to see a ton of motion, a ton of movement as they try to ascend to the college football glitterati. So I'm going to say in like a lion, out like, and I had never heard this animal speak and the sounds of this animal before, out like a sloth.
A sloth?
Out like a sloth.
I need to play that again. A sloth. All right, so what...
That's
what,
sort of the sound that Butch Jones makes every single time a Tennessee player gets hurt.
I was thinking that. So what qualities of the sloth are you applying here to your logic?
Internet loves sloths, right?
Yeah, it does. That's true.
The internet does love a good sloth. Sloth, very slow moving. I explained this at the top, Ty. I just don't believe Tennessee, the progress has been glacial. They're fine. But right. I just think they're going to be out like a sloth. I'm seeing more of the same. They have to replace a good amount. They are, and to honor our good friend Bill C, the immortal, the number one everything in college football, I believe, and I have this in front of me, Tennessee is 109th in the country in returning production in 2017.
Okay.
So I sort of feel, 51% of their production is coming back, which is good for 109th in the country out of all FBS.
That's usually indicative of a step back, and I'm glad you brought up the total production returning stats that Bill C has put out there, because I'm going to reference that here in a little bit as well.
Simpatico.
So you're saying a sloth.
Yeah.
Do you think that Butch Jones is going to be employed at Tennessee in 2018?
No.
I agree.
I do not. Yeah.
I agree. And I'm not going to go the sloth route.
Okay.
I am instead going to go with another big presence in the animal kingdom. Sort of slobbery, certainly bark being worse than his bite. I am told that that is the authentic barking sound of a Saint Bernard.
Okay. Saint Bernards are very helpful, though.
They're helpful. They're nice. He's never going to, like, attack the intruder. You know, he's just going to be there and hope maybe that the intruder gets scared away because he's such a big dog.
I thought you were going to say because Butch Jones looks like he could be the number three villain in Beethoven.
Okay.
That a St. Bernard makes a lot of sense. But okay, you can have yours too.
Going St. Bernard.
All right.
Up next, let's stay on the coaching side.
Please.
Let's talk about a gentleman who went 7-5 last season, Dan.
Mm-hmm.
We might be wondering, well, how did he do in 2015? It's funny you should ask. He went 7-5 regular season in 2015. You might say, all right, well, 2 in a row is, what's that? How'd he do in 2014? Went 6-6. Won a bowl game over Texas. Went 7-6 overall.
Yeah,
I'm talking about Brett Bielema. Bert Bielema.
Bert.
At Arkansas, Dan.
Are you not going to play the sound?
I have this. I have to pull it up here. I have a whole animal soundboard that I've compiled here.
Mm-hmm.
So we'll get to the Burt sound here when you least expect it. But I think it's fair to say that Brett Bielema now enters 2017 like a bit of a lion. Maybe not like Mufasa, But certainly as a Simba, you know, a lion right. cub, there's definitely some uncertainty and some tumultuousness in the situation that he currently finds himself in. So
sure.
For the purposes of our little game here, Brett Bielema enters like a lion. He goes out like a...
So my line of thinking is I'm going with Pitbull here.
Pitbull.
So I'm going with a ferocious Pitbull, but not the one you're thinking of, Ty.
You're not going Dale here. Right, okay.
No, I am going
Dale. Oh, you are going Dale.
I think no matter what happens in 2017 with Arkansas, Brett Bielema is still going to have a good time. I think he's literally going out like a pit, like the literal person Pitbull. Dale. Yeah, there's something consistent about Brett Bielema, you know, in what he wants out of offense and what his team sort of seems to finish the season as. Like they seem to end with promise, even though this year the bowl game probably less so. But I think there is going to be that consistent energy from Brett Bielema, even if he's fired after this year. I still think. He's going out like Pitbull.
All right, well, I have the sound.
Oh, there it is.
Borderline erotic.
There you go. Just for you.
Thank you. What is he going out with, like, erotic. In your way?
I'm saying a cheetah.
Really?
I'm saying a cheetah. Because if he's already a lion, a cheetah is the same basic cat,
mm-hmm.
but a lot better at running.
Okay.
And that's really the main difference. Arkansas struggled to run the football consistently a year ago. And I'm not going to point to that as the sole reason why they didn't perform better than 7-5 regular season, 7-6, if you count the bowl loss to Virginia Tech. But it was one of the elements that I think a lot of people looked at and said, wow, this is not something we're accustomed to seeing. We like Raleigh Williams. Raleigh Williams is going to be really good, but they just didn't get the production in the lineup front. They did in some games, they didn't in others. It was just a really inconsistent offensive effort, especially when it comes to running the football. So I think they will improve that in 2017. The problem is that the SEC is always really good.
We could also reference their linebackers in the open field chasing after speedier players on other SEC teams or other teams in general and just hit that sloth sound again, Ty.
We could
hit
go
that sloth sound.
We could go sloth again, and I don't think you'd be wrong about that, but... I'm feeling pretty much the same trajectory for Brett Bielema in 2017 as 2016, but maybe some improvement running the football, which is why I say cheetah.
Okay.
Also, did you know that a cheetah, when it's not roaring or growling, makes like a really high-pitched meowing sound?
Do you have the sound?
I don't have the sound, but I was listening to it on YouTube. Yeah.
Damn it.
Really high-pitched.
Okay.
Where do you want to go
next? Have you watched any of Planet Earth 2 yet?
All I've seen so far is that clip of the iguana versus the snakes.
Oh, the little lizard. Not iguana, but yeah, the tiny little lizard.
Yeah.
Oh, incredible. That's the best sports highlight of the year.
I haven't seen anything else so far, but I'm looking forward to it.
I am so excited. There's Smokey, but that's, you know, the volunteer. It's not an animal. We've got the Razorback. I love good nature documentaries and wild boar, razorback kind of thing.
Little Wu Pig Suey. Oh, yeah.
I would absolutely watch that.
So you're a big fan of the animal kingdom. And I didn't used to be a fan of animals.
Why? How do you? What? How is that possible?
I didn't used to take animals seriously. I just didn't. Like, if I were cornered by a bear or something, yeah. Then I'd
take
it seriously.
You wouldn't watch Animal Planet?
Not really. Not really. This is another thing that the solid wife has now introduced into my life. This is why I'm a better man.
What is your number one Animal Planet nature documentary type show? Not the show itself, but subject. What animal? Are you just like, I can't get... I know you love space, but like, what animal can you not get enough of nature-wise?
Seals.
Really? That's an interesting answer, Ty.
I gotta go seals, yeah.
Why seals?
Just a good sea lion scratches me right where I itch. It always has.
But like you would watch footage, a lot of footage of seals doing their thing.
Yeah.
Do you prefer the aquatic or the land portion of the seal's life?
I prefer the seal pups, actually.
See, I love a good elephant seal.
Okay. Yeah, Yeah.
But my number one is the orca, the killer whale.
Well, we talked about this before.
Which says a lot about our dynamic.
Yeah.
That you're more of a prey guy and I'm more of a predator guy. Interesting. Also monkeys. I love a good monkey dog.
It's hard not to like the monkeys, yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know how we got talking about this, but okay. We were talking about the SEC.
Mm-hmm.
So let's stay in the SEC as a whole. We'll come back to, there are a couple other SEC topics here that maybe we can address.
Mm-hmm.
But I want to talk about something I'm going to refer to here, coming in like a lion, very ferociously,
mm-hmm.
SEC conference superiority, Dan. Did you know that only one team last season had fewer than four losses?
I did know that, Ty. We've been over this.
The East has no clear-cut favorites at all. The conference has a quarterback problem, which maybe we can discuss a little bit later.
Mm-hmm.
And for the first time in forever, the discussion was not about the SEC being the best conference. We were talking about the Big Ten. We were talking about the ACC, Dan. For how long was the SEC this planetary body around which the fabric of college football bent? This past year, not so much the case.
Not great. Not great.
Only one team with fewer than four losses. Coming in like a lion, Dan, it will go out like?
I'm going to say a bear.
Okay.
And I'm going to say bear because what is a bear market, Ty?
Bear market's a bad market.
It's not a great market.
Some people are selling, yeah.
I like the quarterbacks. I'm not seeing complete teams, perhaps other than Alabama, that I believe in at this point, returning talent-wise. A lot of questions about LSU, a lot of questions about Texas A&M, and if they're going to turn any sort of corner, Tennessee. We talked about the loss of production there, loss of production with Arkansas, Florida's quarterback situation. Is Luke Del Rio the long-term answer? Is it Felipe Franks? Georgia, we have no idea if that offense can take a step forward. I have very little confidence. So right now I'm bearish on the SEC. But also, I think there's a bit of a hibernation situation.
Okay.
I think the Ole Miss situation, you know, we're hurting depth in the West. So I don't have a bear sound, but I know you were talking before the show that you're very good at roaring. So
I don't know if I could do the roar, Dan.
Okay. So I don't have a bear sound.
I could try a roar if you want.
No, here's what we're going to do. We're going to compromise and let's go with, here we go. I found it. This is
bear necessities.
Book.
Okay.
Yeah, that's all I got. So I'm going to go out like a bear.
I think it goes out like a lamb. I think there's a chance the SEC could return to being the best conference in 2017.
Nice and comfortable.
I think there's a chance it could happen again. Mm-hmm. There are going to be plenty of teams in the Big Ten that I think take a step back. Michigan loses a lot. They've recruited well, but they lose a lot. Penn State, despite the fact that they had an incredible renaissance a year ago, I think there's a chance they could take a step back. Mm-hmm. I'm just not certain they continue on the same path that we saw last year. And in the ACC, obviously, Clemson loses to Deshaun Watson. Louisville loses some contributors on both sides of the football. Florida State, I think, should still be pretty rock solid, but I don't know if the highs are quite as high in the ACC as they were last season. So I think there's a chance. There's an opening there for the SEC. There actually is an opening there for the Pac-12 as well, which I'm sure we'll get into at some point here. But I think the SEC is in really good position to regain that superiority. So I think in like a lion, out like a lamb, just like the expression says.
All right. I'm AAC all day.
All right. Moving on.
Yes.
Football in the great state of Tejas, Dan.
Yes.
Football in the state of Texas undeniably comes in like a lion.
Mm-hmm.
There is uncertainty. TCU went, 6-7?
Yeah, it wasn't great.
A year ago. Texas went 5-7 and fired their coach. Hired Tom Herman, but fired their coach.
Mm-hmm.
Texas A&M went 8-5 on the year for the third consecutive season. And that's not even counting Cliff Kingsbury at Texas Tech going 5-7.
Cliffy.
Still not fixing his defense. And what's going on at Baylor, which is a mess for reasons beyond just football.
Yeah. New coach.
New coach. new coach, but five big teams right there that I've listed that I think would undeniably put them in a place of relative uncertainty as we head into 2017, Dan. So football in the great state of Texas, coming in like a lion, going out like?
Well, first of all, you're disrespecting UTSA and the Roadrunners.
I'm sorry.
A nice year, I would add. A nice year. 5-3 in conference, 6-7 overall, but considering where they've come from, yeah, a nice, it's a bowl team tie. You watch yourself. I'm going to say in like a lion, out like a bull.
Like a bull?
Like a bull tie.
Is that a real bull sound?
That is a real bull sound.
Where did you find that?
I cannot tell you, Ty. I went out into nature and secretly recorded.
Okay.
That is a real bull sound because in like a bull, it's partially because the Longhorn thing. Yes, Longhorns are bulls. But also because TCU, second in the nation in returning production. Texas, sixth in the nation in returning production. We're talking about both sides of the ball. UTSA, 18th, Ty. I do my homework. Baylor, 93rd. So going to take some time. Going to take some time in Waco. But the TCU and Texas thing to me is interesting because of the experience, because of the quarterback experience. I know TCU is sort of up in the air, but I have a certain degree of trust with TCU that they just don't have that many lower years in a row.
Yeah,
with how good Gary Patterson has done building a staff and dealing with attrition. Texas-wise, Charlie Strong clearly didn't work out. Tom Herman, very good in terms of getting buy-in, overhauling. I think Texas is going to play a lot closer to its potential in 2017. Texas is not back, but in terms of improvement, Clay Helton had how many months at USC to like cross the 50 multiple times against Alabama to prepare?
Right.
So as good as Clay Helton turning around USC last year, Tom Herman does have an advantage early in getting this Texas team ready early on in the season, getting buy-in, overhauling culture. I am bullish, so I'm going to say they're out like a bull.
TCU, that's a very convincing bull, Dan. Thank you. TCU in 2017, you mentioned about the returning production. They're actually the top Power 5 team.
This is
in
true.
That metric, according to what Bill C. has to say.
I have number 2 FBS, yeah.
Number 2 FBS, number 1 Power 5. And they're mostly young. They've got some turnover up front on defense, but they do bring a lot back, which is why they are so high in these rankings. It wouldn't be inconceivable for them to take a step forward. You mentioned Texas. They're going to get better on offense. They're going to get better on defense. Obviously, Tom Herman comes over, but he's sort of just the headliner. Todd Orlando came over, too. And he did great work at Houston. So I think there's some promise there. On the other hand, I could see A&M taking a step back because they lose a lot in both sides of football. The quarterback situation is still kind of up in the air. Texas Tech is losing Patrick Mahomes, and I think that's going to be a backbreaker for them.
Sure.
And then Baylor, I don't really have an opinion on. There's so much going on the Baylor side that it's hard to really look at it from a pure football standpoint. I say Pitbull.
Oh, but not the good kind.
Not the good kind. I'm saying Pitbull, still ferocious, still very unpredictable and uncertain, but easier to train and mostly friendlier than a lion.
True. Oh, we should also mention TCU lost Foster Sawyer, Sailor Spy.
That's right, yeah.
Yeah, that's tough. That's
so I say a real Pitbull. That was another authentic Pitbull.
Listen, Ty, we both went with real Pitbulls in our own way.
Dan, did you know that incredible home cooking's never been more attainable?
Oh my God. Ty, I've heard rumors of this, but please, let me know how.
Blue Apron, they'll do it. Less than $10 a meal. Yes. They'll deliver an easy-to-follow seasonal recipe along with pre-portioned ingredients right to your door. Damn. No more overspending at restaurants or high-end grocery stores. Blue Apron, they're going to help you prepare delicious, memorable meals all by yourself in under 40 minutes. Not to mention, they have partnered now with over 150 local farms, fisheries, and ranchers across the good old U.S. of A. to ensure that their ingredients are of the highest quality, Dan. Would you like to know what some of their featured upcoming meals are?
Like nothing else I've ever wanted to know.
Let's talk about the great month of March. Coming in like a lion, maybe going out with some salmon piccata with orzo and broccoli?
Oh, yeah, I'm listening.
Or some pork chops and miso butter with bok choy and marinated apple?
Oh my God, there's umami written all over that.
Or a little vegetable chili and baked sweet potatoes with crispy tortilla strips. Or last but not least, spicy shrimp coconut curry with cabbage and rice. Does that sound good or what?
My stomach is literally growling as you say that, Ty. What a good read you've done.
Check it out now. Go to blueapron.com/solid. You can get your first three meals free with free shipping. Again, by going to blueapron.com/solid. You will love how it feels and tastes to create incredible home-cooked meals with Blue Apron. Don't wait. Check it out, blueapron.com/solid. Blue Apron is a better way to cook. Moving on. That is so ferocious, Dan.
Ty, can I ask you something? Have you ever heard of chapulinas?
No.
Neither had I until relatively recently, the name of the food. Grasshopper, Ty.
Grasshopper?
Would you eat grasshopper? Blue Apron or not?
Not if I knew it was a grasshopper.
I had it both in Mexico and in Houston. It's pretty good.
Grasshopper.
I wouldn't go out of my way for it. It's pretty good. Huh. It's a sustainable protein, a little smoky.
How do you cook a grasshopper?
I think you sort of cut them up and then you toss it like in a saute pan with like some garlic and oil of some kind. I wouldn't eat it straight, but I would throw it in a tortilla with some guac and some salsa. It's pretty good.
What is the most adventurous thing you've ever eaten?
I guess human. I guess the flesh of my fellow man. No, it might be the grasshopper. I don't think jowl is too adventurous. Have you ever had pork jowl?
No.
I mean, it's face.
No.
Pork face. It just tastes sort of like bacon.
All right. I'm not even going to answer this. I don't even
when I was, I will say this, though. When I was in Mexico a few weeks ago, we were at a carnitas place. And carnitas, you and I know to be just sort of like shredded pork shoulder.
Right.
But it really, in Mexico, is any part of the pig that is fried in lard. Okay?
Okay.
And you can sort of choose. You can say, oh, I want rib meat or I want shoulder meat, whatever, if you go to like a place that specializes in carnitas. I went on a guided tour and the guide was like, how adventurous do you want to be? Because they are literally frying up every piece of flesh on a pig.
Right.
And I went with like low-ish. I'm generally kind of adventurous, but people that went with, yes, I want to be definitively adventurous. Do you have a guess as for which part of the pig they ate in a taco? Fried. And like shredded and cut up.
Gosh, I probably don't.
What would you consider to be adventurous?
The nether regions, let's say.
You're not wrong. It was uterus.
Oh.
It was pig uterus, fried pig uterus. And everybody seemed to like it.
Good for them.
Yeah. So what we're saying is not available on Blue Apron.
No.
Yet.
Yet. Yeah.
Yet. But keep your eyes peeled.
All right. Coming in like a lion. Giving me the willies here.
Yeah.
Josh Rosen's draft stock, Dan.
Oh, I like this.
So look, this was one of our fantasy things that we discussed a couple times and all throughout the 2016 season. A lot of hype around Rosen. A lot of steam on him after 2015 because he had a great freshman campaign, right? 2016...
Great might be overstating it. I'd say very impressive.
It was impressive. He showed a ton of promise, right?
Yes.
2016 kicked a little dirt on that fire.
Yeah.
Because he only played half a season. He got hurt. Even before he got hurt, there wasn't a big boost in his productivity, virtually identical to what he did in the same span of time in 2015. So we're now at a weird spot where he's got a ton of talent. No one's forgotten about Josh Rosen. But the draft stock, you could argue, has never quite been this low. And now, 2017, uncertainty, what's the offense going to look like? I think it's coming in like a lion here.
Okay. It is a low point at the moment. We don't know what the offense will look like. New coordinator and Jed Fish. Yeah, I think that's reasonable.
How do you feel about where the offense is headed and where he heads?
Not particularly good. What is UCLA offensively in terms of returning production? Let's take a look real quick just to give us a baseline idea. So they're 99th. They're 49th on offense, 99th overall. So I'm worried that defensively, even though they've recruited very well, I think they're going to take a step back. Takaris McKinley was wonderful rushing the quarterback. UCLA still, I feel like, hasn't developed pass-catching weapons, and they were so atrocious on the ground last year that even if they improve, they'll probably just improve to about average, and that doesn't necessarily help a quarterback a ton. So I'm going to go with a repeat here, and I'm going to say UCLA and Josh Rosen in like a lion, and because I think he's probably going to end up on a bad NFL team, or, you know, a bad NFL team's quarterback decisions, in out like a bull, Ty.
I love that sound. We need to start using that more, Dan.
As Josh Rosen heads to Houston. Yeah.
That would
be an okay NFL team, I think.
That wouldn't be the worst place to go.
No, it wouldn't. But that's what I'm feeling. I feel like he'll have a bounce back year to the point where people will talk themselves out of his potential problems with UCLA in 2017.
Yeah, I think he, provided he doesn't get hurt and provided he has an okay season, I think he
will. I really hope he does.
Yeah, as do I. I think he'll enter the NFL draft early. That's not a stretch to say. I think his draft stock will be a lot less uncertain than it is now. I think he'll be fun to watch. I think he'll be fun to envision in an NFL uniform. Just maybe not a fully crystallized, matured beast. Which is why I'm going to say a Falabella miniature horse. You ever see a miniature horse show?
That's what I've heard of. What is it? It's Shetlands I've heard of. Falabella? Okay. That's a great word.
Falabella miniature horse. Yeah.
Was like on Robin Big?
I don't know what was on Robin Big, but it is a miniature horse, and I believe it's from Argentina.
Mm-hmm.
And I saw a horse show once where they trained them, and they ran in a circle. It was a lot of fun.
Would you rather have, in 2017, playing for an above-average college football, a generic above-average college football team, would you rather have a healthy Josh Rosen or a healthy DeShone Kizer?
Wow.
I think I'd want Josh Rosen.
Why?
I watched every throw, because we're doing an NFL draft show, and we'll talk about the NFL draft like the week before it happens. I really enjoyed our show with Peter Schrager last year, but I watched every single throw of DeShone Kizer's in 2016, and I do not hold him accountable for everything, because that offense was a mess. DeShone Kizer made one read and launched it in as hard as he possibly could. I think I would go with Josh Rosen at this point. I think DeShone Kizer is more mature. I think he's a better athlete. He's a better runner. He's more solid physically. But I came away kind of disappointed with where DeShone Kizer was. And I still feel like if DeShone Kizer is going to be talked about as a top five NFL draft pick after his 2016, that a healthy Josh Rosen has a higher ceiling at this point.
I'll take the opposite side of the argument, and I'll just say because Kizer can do more as a college football quarterback. He may not be as gifted a passer when it comes to making reads.
Right.
But he can do more with his legs, and that gives you an added dimension. I think Rosen's probably going to end up being a much better passer. I think he's already borderline shown that when he's been healthy. But
right.
Kizer does give you the legs, and it was sort of an unintended advantage that Notre Dame stumbled into the first year that he played quarterback, right? They didn't really plan on running him because they were already down a guy.
Right.
They didn't want to get somebody else hurt.
Oh, his 2015 was considerably better.
Exactly. He ended up being very good at running the football. And in many cases, this past season, they needed him. They needed to run the football. He's actually got better wheels than a lot of people think. He's a big guy. So from that standpoint alone, I think he gives you a new dimension. I'll go Kizer over Rosen just based on what we saw a year ago.
I will say, with Rosen, there's a lot more throwing arrogance that Kizer doesn't have in a bad way.
Right.
That Kizer doesn't scan the field. He doesn't throw guys open as much, but he is very seldom to be confident or overly confident in his ability to make a play.
Fair.
Which is a good quality. Yeah.
All right. Coming in like a lion. This team went 1-8 in the Big Ten.
Yeah, they did.
They went 3-9 overall, Dan, 103rd, 103 in the nation in points per game.
Mm-hmm.
It was clearly a significant step back on offense as well as defense. Michigan State was a team that a lot of people were high on going into 2016. Clearly, that did not work out. Now, they're in a position where they had a really bad year. They enter a rejuvenated Big Ten East, despite the fact that there may be a few teams on that side of the conference taking a step back. It still feels like a decidedly more competitive division than it was the last time Michigan State was potentially consequential. So I ask you, Mr. Rubenstein, 3-9 Michigan State, in like a lion, out like a?
I'm going to go vulture here, Ty.
A vulture?
A vulture.
Wow.
I'm gonna cover myself and I'm going to hedge, because either Michigan State becomes a team, and by the way, returning production-wise, 124th.
Yeah, not great, Bob.
Not great, Bob, but Michigan's 127th across the state. Ohio State 72nd, Penn State 27th, so that's a little bit scary. But schedule-wise, it's, I would argue, somewhat advantageous. They have Michigan on the road, but they get Maryland and Rutgers cross-division. And Indiana with a new coach, they get him at home. Ryan Field's not the most difficult place to play against. Northwestern, Minnesota on the road, but it's a new coach, feeling things out. Notre Dame, they get in Spartan Stadium. Iowa, they get in Spartan Stadium. And early on, Western with a new coach, a disappointing Bowling Green. So they could pick apart the carcasses of disappointing teams. And by the end of the year, we can say, all right, that's what they did. They weren't great. They weren't a Falcon. They weren't an Eagle. They weren't a Hawk. But they ate. You know, they'll get back to a bowl game, or they themselves are the carcass. And Michigan at Michigan Stadium, Ohio State at Ohio State, Penn State returning a ton, including two Heisman Trophy contenders on offense, at least two Heisman Trophy contenders, will pick them apart, not unlike a vulture's strategy.
All right, so what you're saying is maybe not a return to 10-2.
Yes.
But a return to like 8-4?
Yes. I think it's entirely possible. Michigan State has always been a program that has had to rely on identifying diamonds in the rough or developmental guys and developing them. You know, seeing qualities, finding fits for Michigan State and then the way that their culture operates. But without a ton of players coming back to sort of influence winning culture, and it's tough. It's a tougher ask in the way that that division has come forward with three very, very strong teams.
Agreed. Yeah, I think we're on a similar train of thought here, Dan.
Yeah.
I'm not going to say vulture. I don't think it's quite as big of a lion, but I'm going to say they go out like a house cat. Maybe entering 2018 with their own share of questions, maybe not quite as uncertain as they are now entering 2017, but I just kind of feel like 8-4 is going to be the ceiling.
May I ask you a follow-up question? So the 2015 Michigan State team, vulture-wise, so a down Oregon team,
yeah,
not a bad Oregon team in 2015, but Vernon Adams, you know, they picked him apart because he was injured. Ohio State, you could argue offensive coordinating was a bit of a carcass in that game, not giving the ball to Zeke Elliott. Penn State was certainly down that year. That was the sort of, I would argue, the basement of the running the old spread system that James Franklin brought in. They got killed in that game, right?
Correct, yeah.
That was like a 50-16 kind of game. And Michigan, clearly at the beginning of the Harbaugh era, and that was, you know, the carcass of special teams play, and Brady Hoke before that. So I'm not going to disrespect Michigan State and fully attribute their success to them picking apart carcasses and not necessarily being the ones to kill them, but there might be an element.
Okay. Fair enough. I agree.
Okay.
And finally.
Finally.
In like a lion. I need to harken back to this for a second because I remember it very vividly last year.
Mm-hmm.
I took copious notes. We both did on our 2016 college football 5-part preview that we put together.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember as part of that preview, I went through our friend Phil Steele's season preview. as I do every year. And in that preview, he assumed that John Franklin III was going to be Auburn's answer at quarterback.
Mm-hmm.
Alas, that was not the case. He saw some time, but he certainly wasn't the prolonged answer at quarterback for Auburn. Sean White got the majority of the snaps. Mm-hmm. And at times he was effective. I gave him and Gus Malzahn a lot of crap for it. Not that they care or even knew, but I just thought starting Sean White was lopping off an entire leg of your offense because he just didn't give you much more beyond like a game manager role.
Right.
So I was disappointed. We didn't see any of that creativity that we've come to know and love from Gus Malzahn. Now they enter 2017. Sean White is still there. John Franklin III is still there. But they've also got Woody Barrett. They've got a sophomore named Tyler Queen, a freshman named Malik Willis, and of course the Baylor transfer, Jared Stidham. Gus Malzahn has options. But which one will he pick? Auburn's quarterback coming in like a lion, going out like a...
I'm going to say goat.
Oh!
And not the G.O.A.T goat, but I'm kind of scared specifically for Jared Stidham because I don't know that that is the most perfect fit. To me, he feels like a quarterback who can run, a thrower who can run. And I know Cam Newton sort of developed into that in his one transfer year. But I also am under the impression from watching Auburn these past few years under Gus Malzahn that they are looking for somebody at quarterback who can shoulder a good amount of the rushing load. Nick Marshall was able to successfully. Sean White and a couple other quarterbacks less so. And I don't know that that generally fits what Gus Malzahn is able to do. So I'm scared, much in the way that Screaming Goats appears to be scared, Ty.
Well, I'm not gonna play the goat sound. Did you know that I was gonna go goat with this one?
No, I absolutely did not. I have a baby goat right here.
I swear to you on all things holy,
simpatico,
that I am gonna go goat here, and that I had planned on going goat here. I think regardless of who ends up with this job, mm-hmm. I've lost some confidence in Gus Malzahn's ability to put together like a well balanced offense, something right. that incorporates both the run and the pass. We saw it a couple years ago with Nick Marshall, right? But mm-hmm. it's been a while. I feel like it's been too long.
Had really good pass catching options. Sammy Coates was great. Ricardo Lewis. Yeah.
So I'm thinking that it's a goat, but the kind of goat that has a fatal flaw.
Uh-oh.
You know, like one of those fainting goats. One of those goats that when they get all worked up, they just faint.
Yeah.
Some sort of critter with a fatal flaw.
We are on the exact same page here.
With that being said, Dan.
Yeah.
Stamps.com will save you time and money.
As we mail in this episode.
Stamps.com, it can help you grow your business. Dan, you can mail any letter, any mm-hmm. package. All you need is a computer, a printer, the mailman, he'll pick it up.
Wow.
Avoid the hassle.
I need it for my passport renewal. Yeah.
There you go. Avoid the hassle of the post office, mail everything from postcards, envelopes to packages, domestic or international, Dan. They bring all the services of the United States Postal Service right to your fingertips. You can buy and print official U.S. postage for any letter, any package, any class of mail using your own printer and computer. They make it easy. They'll send you a digital scale, which will help you calculate exact postage. Mm-hmm. They'll even help you decide the best class of mail. And I got to say, this would have been real helpful when we were sending out our t-shirts. Not that I dislike the Postal Service. They do great work. I'm a right. fan of my local post office. But it just would have been way more convenient and certainly easier mm-hmm. if I could have done it all, the labeling, from soup to nuts right here at the home office. So stamps.com to the rescue, Dan. The next time we do a t-shirt sale or the next time we have to mail anything out, I'm using stamps.com. Right now, you can too, with a special offer that includes a 4-week free trial plus postage and a digital scale. Don't need to sign up for anything long term. They'll throw in all of that. If you go to stamps.com, click on the microphone at the top of the homepage and type in our code SOLID, S-O-L-I-D. Again, they'll give you a 4-week trial plus postage and a digital scale without a long term commitment. Give it a try. Stamps.com. Your promo code is SOLID. Click on the mic at the top of the page. Type in SOLID. Stamps.com. Never go to the post office again.
Ty, can you play the sloth sound for me again? That's wonderful.
That's all I got, Dan.
That's almost everything I have. Ty, will you play the breaking news sound for me?
We have breaking news.
Boop, 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 boop. Okay, so as I mentioned to you, Ty, the SB Nation college football people are in town. They're in New York.
Yes, correct, correct, yeah.
I got an update about a romantic pursuit.
Whoa.
Of Richard Johnson.
Whoa!
That began on the evening of the Solid Verbal Live Show at Hill Country
Chicken. Whoa! Whoa, whoa, whoa!
I did. I got this. I got an update, Ty.
Are we allowed to talk about this on the show?
So, I will not call out this person that Richard Johnson is now, at least unofficially, romantically entangled with.
Okay.
Dates, dating, ongoing. I don't want to misrepresent anything.
You're going to torpedo the whole damn thing, dude.
I might torpedo the whole thing, but I did ask Richard's permission. He said, go for it.
Okay. All right. Well, then, so be it.
So, it's ongoing, Ty.
No kidding.
On whatever level, it's ongoing. And as I've said before, Ty Hildenbrandt is the ultimate aphrodisiac.
We bring people together, man. That's what we do.
We do bring people together. So I'm just saying right now, we are going to be doing the tentative plan. We're going to do a live show in August to do our fantasy things draft live.
This is breaking news now. Yeah.
This is breaking news. We have not booked anything. That is the plan.
The plan is at some point in August, we're going to get together a larger gathering.
Mm-hmm.
And you will see information on this in the coming days and weeks and months. We'll put together a mailing list. It will be limited availability as the first time, though maybe not quite as limited. And
it'll be bigger, yeah.
The plan is to put together a really fun season preview show. And instead of boring people, we're gonna have our fantasy things draft for the 2017 season, live in living color.
So all I'm going to say is, if you're a single gal, if you're a single fella, we will probably be doing this place that has food, that has drinks, and I would say it's safe to say it's going to be a bit of a singles mixer, Ty. Dude, is that a word? I don't even know if that's a word anymore. But you know what? I can say now with authority, we have a very attractive audience.
We do, yeah, absolutely.
Well-informed, educated, good jobs, interesting people, and just the top of the top looks-wise, Ty.
You and I were the two least interesting people there.
I'm just saying right now, keep your eyes peeled because we've got an attractive audience.
Head on a swivel.
Absolutely.
All right. Wow. Well, this is
breaking news. Dividends are already paying, Ty.
This is already breaking news here.
Yeah.
Our first scoop of 2017. Great. So listen.
Yeah.
I teased this a little bit and I saw some action on the forum. We're going to be putting out by the end of this week a voting poll for people who want to jump in and vote for our Verby show. Mm-hmm. The plan is that we're going to do that either next week or the week after.
Right.
So it's going to be in short order that we'll do our Verby show. They just did the Oscars a couple days ago.
Mm-hmm.
We can assure you we'll probably have that level of screw up and more as we give out the biggest and brightest awards in the college football world. Mm-hmm. As we do one final recap of the 2016 season that was. But before we get to that point, we need you to step in and let us know what you think.
We need some voting.
We need some voting. So it's free. It's open to everybody to come in and vote. We'll put together a nice little fun show, talk about all of these award winners and much, much more. So the Verby show is forthcoming. We are currently signing up coaches that are going to be on the program.
Yeah.
In the next couple months, we've got all sorts of plans, some headlining acts that I am extremely excited about. We won't spill the beans on that quite yet. And then some other fun stuff planned as we enter into the long doldrums of the off season.
Ty, did you notice the avalanche of support that Donuts received?
I did. Yeah, I did.
It was like 47-1.
People are pro donuts. And I am,
which doesn't make them anti-cake. They're cake donuts.
I am pro donut. I'm pro cake. I may be anti-donut wall, but that's I need insane. To see it. I need to see it.
That's
I am
crazy.
I am waiting to pass judgment until I actually see how this is used.
Okay.
All right.
I just, the ratio is flipped with donuts. It's everything is coming up donut. Yeah, I think you'll be very pleased with the wall tie.
All right. I'm giving it a chance.
And there will be far more donuts than people. And we'll have to-go bags too, Ty.
All right.
You'll be set.
I am waiting to pass judgment.
Okay.
That's all I got, Dan.
That's everything I have.
For that guy over there, my good friend Dan Rubenstein. For myself, Ty Hildenbrand. Thanks again for tuning in. Subscribe at iTunes.com/solidverbal and at solidverbal.com. We will be back in a week. In the meantime, stay solid.
Peace.